You're listening to Audio Culture on 95BFM.
Thanks to Audio Culture, Iwi Waiata, the Noisy Library of New Zealand Music. Go to audioculture.co.nz.
Thanks to the power of the internet beaming all the way from Northern Thailand, we should have Simon Gregg on the line. How are you?
Yeah, from Chiang Mai.
What on earth are you doing in Chiang Mai?
Well, yesterday I wandered around, took photographs, and found a record shop. So,
was there any gold in the record shop? It was,
unbelievably, there was a bin, there's a reggae bin, and it's full of all these like 1960s and early 1970s Jamaican pressings.
Mm-hmm.
So I spent far too much money buying like old Scar and Rocksteady.
Are they cheap in Thailand? Did they know what they had?
Well, they were relatively cheap. I found a Jamaican pressing of Burning Spears' first album,
oh, wow,
which I went on Discogs, and it's listed for £600.
How much did you pay for it in Thailand?
I paid $30 for it.
$30 for it?
Yeah, so I'm happy.
You happy? You're not going to relist it?
The guy, I left
spend a couple more weeks in Thailand?
Take photographs.
Yeah.
Hey?
Well, you could spend a couple more weeks in Thailand for £600, couldn't you?
Well, I'm going back there after I've finished speaking to you guys.
Yes. So good. Now, Simon, we're talking about your article, which is up on Audio Culture, Jam This Record, 10 Local Jam Dance Floor Hits, Auckland, 1988 to 1997.
Yes. Okay, well, I wrote a thing a while back, probably about 6 months or so ago, about the rise of Auckland club records in the early 80s, or from about 83 onwards, when nightclubs arrived and people started, you know, going out dancing in the new modern kind of nightclubs, not the old school, you know, you had to wear a tie type things.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an era when clubland, like, you know, sort of stuff that you read about in New York magazines or Chicago magazines or The Face, that sort of thing, kind of arrived in New Zealand. So young Aucklanders in particular started going out to these clubs and decided to start making records too. So we had a period from about 83 through to the late 90s when it exploded. And I thought I'd write a couple of stories about it. So I wrote one earlier on, which took us through to 1987, so 83 to 87. And then I followed it up with 88 to 97.
Mm. Was there a period of anything goes, a good song is a good song? It wasn't really genre specific, more like a Balearic style.
Yeah.
More of
and
a
that
feeling.
Was a real New Zealand thing, you know. Because, you know, you go to a club in London or you go to a club in New York and it'll be a house club or it'll be a hip hop club or whatever. And we didn't have that privilege of having those number of people going out, so you kind of had to
cater to everyone,
which meant that you got these very sort of Catholic dance floors, not in the church, but, you know, in wide taste. And a couple of specific DJs were very good at it. One in particular was a guy called Roger Perry,
yes,
who I think is probably the most important name in this whole period. And Roger would just hear a song and he'd play it. You know, this fits. So his set over that's the other thing too. Our DJs tended to play whole nights, whereas you go to a club in London and they play 2 hours, much like they do in New Zealand now.
In this article you've written on the top 10 hits, there's a Headless Chicken's Gas Crank and Station in there. And you also credit Roger Perry in your little bio on this particular song, but I just thought, oh my goodness, there's Headless Chickens in the mix in this dance floor lineup of tunes. I was very surprised. But
well, that was a kind of symbiotic relationship,
too,
because the Headless Chickens used to come to the clubs. Grant Fell in particular was a real club sort of guy, you know, and he was promoting dance parties at the same time.
Yes, yeah.
So, and Roger ended up working with them, he remixed a couple of tracks for their 12 inches and their greatest hits, I think.
Yep.
And he also went off and did beats with them on the tours. So it worked both ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the crowds were very open-minded. So Roger would just go, well, shit, this is a good record.
Yes.
I mean, let's face it, Gas Crank and Station is a killer record. It's a classic.
Yes.
And so Roger just thought, well, I can play this. So he'd be playing a set of house music and dub stuff, and he'd just bang, drop that in, and the crowd would go crazy.
I feel like this period of music sounds very similar to what is echoed on air today in BFM. You know, just this broad taste and like kind of anything goes as long
very
as the vibe
so,
fits.
Yes.
It's still here. I think it's still going.
Yeah, and it kind of wasn't there in BFM in the in the 80s, early 90s. B was very, you know, the pub shows were on the evenings, and we always felt like we were a little bit of the ghetto. You know, we were in there and we were playing these records, and we'd get a little bit of the odd snare for playing disco.
Mm-hmm.
But on the dance floors, it was far more sort of open.
Yes.
And have, like, you know, somebody from Spud dancing on the floor next to some hairdresser or some guy from South Auckland, a couple from South Auckland. It was very embracing, the whole scene in Clubland. And I think that was reflected in the music as well.
Yes.
So one of the really important things I think came out of the era was the arrival of, in our music, Pacifica.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the things the new clubs did was say, well, we're not going to have any more barriers on, you know, when it comes from what you're wearing, what color your skin is, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
If you understand, if you're fit in, welcome.
Well, was that a quite an abrupt or sudden change when?
Yeah,
that...
it was. Yeah. I'm kind of proud of the fact that we were, I think, probably the first club to do it with our clubs in the late 80s and things. And we just said, right, you know, told the doorman,
anything goes.
Yeah, anything goes, as long, I don't care what they're wearing. You know, as long as they're going to come in, enjoy the music and fit in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh,
wow. So you then had people like young Polynesian and Pākehā couples getting together, you know, like relationships started happening. But also musically, that sort of merging of tastes started to happen. So a lot of hip-hop was being played to Pākehā audiences who wouldn't have heard it necessarily otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of dub music started coming through. And it's kind of changed the sound of Auckland, I think.
Now, you've selected a couple songs for us to play. What would you like to start with and why? What's the first song?
Well, let's go right back to the start of this like era that I wrote about this time around, which is a record by Systematic. And this was kind of, it kind of sums up what I was saying before. And this was, it was called Million Dollar. And there's kind of an interesting story about this. I released it on my label and it went out there and it got on the shops for about, I don't know, 4 or 5 hours until a lawyer's letter arrived from a guy who was mentioned in the song. And there was a currency dealer, a futures trader or something on the run from the police in Australia. And we specifically, well, the band specifically mentioned him in the song.
How did he find out in those pre-internet days? Did someone just send him a fax or give him a buzz on the old landline?
No idea. But there was a cease and desist lawyer arrived at Festival Records, who were our distributor, and they freaked out.
Mm-hmm.
And he was found guilty in the end. He stole millions from old people. And he was an ass, a complete arsehole.
Yes.
But anyway, we had to pull the record, but we still played it a lot in the clubs.
Mm-hmm.
But this record was an example of what I'm talking about. Like, it was the core of the band was a band called the Pneumatics, who were around in the early 1980s.
Mm-hmm.
Were like a ska funk punk band. And Benny Staples was the drummer in the band.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to the UK and he joined a band called the Wooden Tops in the UK, who were a big rough trade band in the late 80s. And one of their songs, a song called Why, became a huge Balearic hit.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a pounding drum sort of sound, and which was Benny, and on a 12-inch record. And it crossed over all audiences.
Yes.
So Benny came back from the UK for a holiday, and he was invited back to do the some music for the Commonwealth Games. And he arrived back in New Zealand, and he thought, why don't I merge traditional instruments and Polynesian sounds and Maori sounds and with acid house?
Ah, what a time.
Yes. So he came back, and he made this piece of music, which was played at the Commonwealth Games opening ceremony, to millions of people. And then it went from there, and they reformed the Pneumatics, but they call them Systematic, and added a couple of other people and made this record. And the record was, the lead singer was Mark Clare from the Pneumatics, but he's also duetting with Sister Cena, who later went on to How Bizarre.
Yes.
She was the How Bizarre woman. And a rapper called Koiski from, I think she was from Detroit originally, who was in New Zealand because she was very good at basketball and she was a tall black woman. So she was, she joined as well. So it became this like fusion of all these different things. And that's what the record was. So it was probably the first, maybe the only acid house record released in New Zealand. Uh-huh. But it was only available for a few hours.
Okay. Quick question, because we might be able to do this on the fly. Do you want the Club Rich mix or the Bullion mix?
Bullion mix, because Bullion mix was the Club Rich mix was the vocal mix, but Bullion was more like the acid house B-side mix.
Okay. Well, I've got a thumbs up from the producer here. So shall we hear it?
Play it.
Okay.
Let's go for it.
Is this the right mix? Can you hear it on your end?
I can hear it. Yes.
Okay.
I think it is.
Okay. I'll bust everything. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Simon, that is a huge call. You, about this being the only Acid House record produced in New Zealand.
Yeah, I don't know.
Stand by it.
Yeah, I think so. Maybe like there was
the only true Acid House record.
The only true, like, from the Summer of Love Acid House type record.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. All right.
I mean, there were things later on. There was a really cool Greg Churchill remix of Headless Chickens, which was very acidy stuff. But
yeah,
you know, during that, you know, the 1998 to 1990-91 period, yeah, that was probably it.
Yeah. Do you feel like we had that? Was there a real Acid House type, actual, including the acid, Summer of Love in New Zealand?
Well, Acid House wasn't really about acid. It was about ecstasy.
Yes. Yes. Okay, ecstasy and acid?
Well, yeah, but ecstasy was, you know, I'm on ZB, I can talk about these things.
Yes.
Ecstasy was very late coming to New Zealand. It didn't arrive until the early 90s, really.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it was there.
Just had to know the right hairdresser.
From about 1990 onwards, but I don't think it was, I'm not going to mention names on here. But, yeah, it was, and... That whole idea of going into a nightclub and just getting completely, you know, on one and putting your hands in the air and dancing for 9 hours to house music, which is what house or Balearic music or whatever, wasn't really a thing we had as such. The closest thing we came to it probably was some of the dance parties that happened around that period. But we tended to break them up and have, you know, there'd be like a lot of dub and a lot of hip hop and things like that being played at those as well.
Yeah.
So we were far more wide-ranging, I think probably all the better for it.
I reckon. I also think that as well. I mean, here am I hosting a show on BFM where I don't mind a bit of everything. So
exactly.
From my point of view, yes. But I reckon, I think it suits everyone a bit of everything.
Yeah, and you got to think about the playlist of what's been played in Clubland in those days was very much like you go in there and you'd have someone like Emmanuel Bundy playing his hip hop stuff, and then Rob Salmon would come on and play, like, you know, deep house music and stuff, and the same people danced to the same songs.
Yes. Yeah.
So, yeah, I think we were better for it.
I just think this is. This is new as a New Zealander, someone who lives in Aotearoa. It is just one of those. I think if you travel abroad, you actually realize that deep inside you, ingrained into your DNA, is an appreciation for such a wide range of music.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Mm. Like the you think about Clubland. I mean, I'm talking about my own personal clubs, and I had Box and Celeb. In the Box, you'd have like really, you know, hard, relentless dance music, like house music and stuff.
Yep.
You go next door and you'd have Nathan Haynes doing jazz.
Yes, yeah.
And it all worked in the same atmosphere, whereas generally if you went to a club in the UK, like if you went to Hacienda or someone else, you go into a house club, and that would be and that would be your experience for the night. So, I don't know, people used to come down and go, well, this is really cool, and wander between rooms and clubs and or dance parties and stuff and go, you know, there's so much going on here. But I think a part of that too was because we were a small city, we had these mixing of communities coming together.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the next record I was going to play was Up Heart Posse, which I hope you got the right mix here. There's a specific mix which has to be played.
Hang on, which Up Heart? Oh, man.
Which is on you. Do it like this, but it's got to be the rhythm factory.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Up Heart Posse. We all know Up Heart Posse. They released New Zealand's first hip hop record, and they were, for want of a better word, iconic. Even at that stage, they were like a major force, and they signed to Murray Kamik's label, Southside Records, and recorded an album. And it was the very first hip hop album to come out in New Zealand. And it came out in 1989, it's called Against the Flow. And I think this was the first single off, or maybe the second single off it, Do It Like This. And it came out, and it was just like the album version. It was a mix, you know, normal sort of, it was a hip-hop song. And then Murray decided about 6 months later he wouldn't mind doing a house mix of it. because at that stage, hip house had turned up, you know, which was a mixture of hip hop and house, and it was a big thing in Chicago. So he sent it across to Australia, and he gave it to a guy called Stuart Pearce, keyboard player, producer, engineer, stuff, working in Sydney. And they did a remix, him and another guy called Dave Merritt, who had has a who was a well-known Australian producer. They did a remix, and they used the original sample, which was in the Upper Hutt Posse's version, which was a Casey and the Sunshine Band song, unlicensed sample, because in those days you could get away with unlicensed samples. And they remade it and sent it back. And I think Dean Harpetter probably, well, he vocally didn't like it, but the but Clubland loved it.
Shall we hear it? Shall we hear it?
A massive club hit. And it kind of mixed all that stuff together. So hip-hop band, yeah, makes a house record.
Let's hear it, and we'll come back with some Sisters Underground to wrap it up. So
sounds good.
Simon Grigg, hold the line, and we're back in a couple of minutes.
Like this. come gonna sing that styly. DLT come gonna scratch that styly. As a dread come gonna soul that styly. Blue dread come gonna chant that style. Yeah, that's why we come, we're gonna chant that style. Yeah, that's why we come, we're gonna chant that style.
Simon Gregg from Audio Culture on the line all the way from Thailand, chatting about your recent article, Jam This Record, 10 Local Dance Floor Hits, Auckland, 88 to 97. Now, Simon, we're going straight to the top here. What is the next tune you'd like to play and why?
Well, next one is, it's obviously a very well-known song, Sisters Underground in the Neighbourhood.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not going to play the normal mix that gets played all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to look at the Australian dub mix. The single was released in 1994 in Australia. The record company, which was Volition Records in Australia, went to a local producer, a guy called Robert Rasek, who's no longer with us, unfortunately. And he was like a very talented producer, engineer, mastering engineer, and remixer. So he did a dub mix, which only ever went out on the first pressings of the 12-inch.
Mm-hmm.
And very few arrived in New Zealand, maybe 50 to 100 arrived in New Zealand.
Oh, wow.
And a similar number went out in Australia. And so it became extremely rare.
Mm.
And it's been bootlegged a few times over the years, but it also became a very, very big club hit. It was on one of the CDs as well. And it kind of went around the world. It became a club hit in the UK. It became a club hit in, across Europe. But that particular mix was the one. And it was, because it was only available on very few copies, it became extremely rare.
Mm.
And up until probably 6 or 8 months ago, when we reissued the Proud album and put it on there, it was selling as a 12-inch for $200-$300.
Wow.
If you could find it.
Like, yes.
There was only, I think there was only one ever sold on Discogs.
Mm-hmm.
So it was one of those things that, you know, it was like gold.
Are all those copies of the Proud reissue long gone now?
They should be there. The coloured vinyl ones are still there. I've gone, I think. They've long gone. But the black vinyl ones should be available.
Still can snap one up. Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah. I mean, it's a fantastic record. It's just one of the great New Zealand albums, I think.
Fantastic. Now, hey, Simon from Audio Culture, thank you so much for speaking with us this evening. Are there any parting words you've got for the BFM listeners?
Go and listen to go to the article.
Mm-hmm.
And go and have a listen to Dangerous Love by House Party. That's probably the my most loved track on the whole page, but we didn't get to that. So it's Paulie Fuimana's sister, Christina, produced by Philip Fuimana, Paulie's brother.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an amazing record.
Okay. Hey, Simon, it's always an absolute pleasure to be able to speak with you. So I hope you have a wonderful Christmas and a happy new year. And
thank you.
Fingers crossed we see you down these ways sometime in the future.
Yeah, some sunshine at some stage.
Yes. Hey, mate, hey, thank you so much. And also a big old Merry Christmas to the folks at Audio Culture. If you've not checked out audioculture.co.nz, I suggest you do, because this is a wonderful resource on the history of music in Aotearoa. All right, Simon, hey, thank you so much. We're going to go out on the Sisters Underground.
Okay, speak soon.
Bye.
Thank you. sisters on the boulevard.
Audio Culture on 95 BFM.
Thanks to Audio Culture, Iwi Waiata, the Noisy Library of New Zealand Music. Go to audioculture.co.nz. It's just